Hello and thanks for downloading this special edition of the Glasgow is Green podcast. We were joined by ex-Celtic defender Mark Reaper, who was part of the famous team in the 90s that stopped the 10 in a row, and he talked about his memories of being part of that team, about being part of Celtic, Eric Svechenko, and a number of other subjects when he sat down with Glasgow's Green Stevie for 30 minutes last week. So, without further ado...
So, Mark, once more, thanks a lot for joining us on the Glasgow's Green podcast. Now, we do have some questions from our listeners, as well as a couple of the guys who run the Glasgow's Green account with me. The first question we've got is one of the guys that runs it, John. He asked, what was the dressing room atmosphere like before that game against St Johnstone? Now, you didn't win the league the week before. How did you cope with the nerves and what was it like?
I think we've had a quite extraordinary dressing room all season with a very, very good camaraderie and great friendships developed both on and on the pitch. And obviously, we had the chance to finish up the league in the second last game, but we had to take it on to the last game, and it was tense. It was very tense, and I think there was a lot of nervous people. Maybe not so much myself and some of the other foreign players. But especially the homegrown players who really had the nine in a row really getting into their skins, and I think they were really nervous. The punters were really, really, really nervous as well. And obviously, that you could feel the tension playing on the park as well. That everybody in the stadium was. Well, they were tense and very nervous, but I think we managed to sort of halfway keep our calm. Harold scored the first goal as I remember, and Henrik finished it off, or was it the other way around? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was the other way about.
Yeah, and well, obviously, as long as it was still 1-0, it was still very, very tense, and then when Harald, he got the goal, and he'd had a lot of stick that season as well. I think a stone fell from our hearts. It was really, really a lot of pressure coming off us, and then we could start to sort of enjoy the last moments of the game, and really having it sinking in that we'd stopped the famous 10 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Celtic fans are so, so grateful, and you'll always be a massive part in their lives, especially mine, for stopping the 10. It was such a massive deal. You mentioned before that a lot of the homegrown players and some of the foreign players were quite nervous during the game, but you were quite cool about it. Did you do anything to soothe their nerves at all, or how did you do anything to cope?
No, well, obviously, it was tension for us as well. No doubt about that, but we've sort of, or I had at least played in games, World Cup, quarterfinal and stuff like that, which was big games as well, so although you could feel a different kind of tension for this game, because it meant so much for so many people in and around Glasgow, both in the in our camp and also in the Glasgow Rangers camp, you could obviously feel everybody. Well, the game was so hyped up. I remember when I came to the club, I think it was two games into the season. The book and I think Celtic, I think we'd lost the two first games where I didn't participate. I think the bookmakers had already paid out for Rangers winning the 10 in a row. It was really, really quick, and then we sort of went on from strength to strength, and eventually caught up with Rangers. I think midway through the the autumn, and we kept the lead until the last game, and it was obviously very, very tense. But I think, as I said before, the likes of Tosh McKinley and Tommy Boyd, they felt it more than we did coming as a foreign group, I think, because they'd been a part of this all their life.
Well, Mark, you also mentioned that you joined after a few games in. Now, that ties in with the next question from one of our listeners, Chris, from Battlefield. He actually said he met you in East Kilbride in 1998 as well, so that's a bit of trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did say that he asked the question, you were part of a decent English Premiership club, and you were a renowned international from Denmark. You could have moved anywhere. So what was the appeal with Celtic that made you move up north at the time?
Yeah, it was sort of a crunch decision for myself. I enjoyed playing at West Ham very, very much, and obviously the Premier League was probably in my book the best league in the world to play in, with the biggest clubs and the biggest stadiums, and the players were amazing as well. But I thought that the move to Celtic and to Glasgow was a very important one for myself and my career, and to sort of, I didn't feel it was a step downwards at all when I first came up to Celtic and felt the atmosphere. I just realised how massive a club this was, and in terms of fan base and all that, it was as big as anyone in Britain, and I'm talking about the biggest ones. So it was really, really a great it was a great experience for myself to come to Glasgow and feel all the hype around the club, and it was a big honour as well for myself to come up there, and I must say the years we had there with my family, it was fantastic, and we were so well looked after by not just the club but everybody in and around Glasgow, and not just the Celtic fans but also people supporting Rangers. They were so kindly and friendly to us all the way through. Obviously there was a few who weren't, but I think in general it was a great experience for us to come to Glasgow, and we've still got a lot of friends up there and enjoy being up there when we get the chance.
That's really good to hear. Especially it's pleasing that you were well looked after by the fans, and they had a lot of good things to say about you too. And it ties in again with the next question we've got from Gio in Glasgow. Now he asks, as a Celtic fan, it meant everything to him, but how did you personally feel when you stopped the 10? Like, was it more a case of relief, or was it just the most joyous you've ever felt?
I remember myself. I was very, very tired. It was just exhausting. The season, it was so long, and it kept on going. We had a lot of big games, cup finals and stuff like that during the season as well. So it was just a mentally very, very tiring season. And some of us had the World Cup to go into straight after. So we knew that even though the season finished, we would go straight into to training camp again for preparing for the World Cup. So it was just a mentally very, very tough season. But then again, the memories that I have when we walked around after the game and sort of could enjoy the win with the fans, it was unbelievable and a great feeling for I think everybody in and around the stadium. That's but great. It was very, very tiring, and I don't think anyone of us who had to go to the World Cup really fancied that task, but I think after a few weeks we sort of got over it and at least us with Denmark, we had a great run at World Cup after that as well.
You did. You beat Brazil as well, didn't you?
No, we lost in the quarterfinal 3-2 Brazil. Yeah. I hit the bar in the last minute.
Nightmare.
With a header. So that was a bit unfortunate. Who knows? Maybe we would have been the world champion. But no, we probably wouldn't. France, they were too strong. But we could have. I think we could have reached the final.
Speaking of Denmark, Mark, there's a couple of questions we have got as well. One is from the other guy who runs the account, James. Now, he has asked about Erik Svechenko. He's getting a lot of plaudits in Scotland just now for his form under Brendan Rodgers. Is he getting the same amount of attention over in Denmark? And you personally, how far do you think he can go in his career?
Well, I think he's made a very wise move to move to Glasgow. It's obviously, I think you don't realise how big a club it is until you get there. Neither did I. But he's moved to a club who's got a great chance of playing Champions League every year or close to every year. It's a massive club with a great support. And if he plays well, then I think the history tells that you've got a chance of moving to you got to be honest and say that Premier League is a bigger league. So if he does well on a continuously basis, especially maybe in the Champions League, then he's got all chances of after maybe 2-3 years moving to one of the big clubs in England as well. So I think it's a great career move for Erik, and I think he's done really well so far as well. So it's good for Celtic, it's good for him, and I think it'll be good for his career as well.
No, definitely. I've been really impressed with Svechenko when he joined last season. I wasn't sure how his form was going to be. It was a bit up and down. He's been fantastic this season, and when he's not played, we've really missed him. So yeah, I totally agree with you. I think he's been fantastic for us, and it's a massive move for him. One of the other questions we've got, which is Denmark related, was when you were at AGF, you were the assistant manager there. Celtic sent players over to your club to develop. Was it a culture shock for the players that were sent over, or did they adapt fairly quickly? And that was from Lee from Edinburgh.
Yeah, well, I think it was a bit of a eye opener. Because although we are sort of similar in Scandinavia to people in Scotland, there's some barriers, especially with the language. Everybody in Denmark speaks English fairly well, but obviously the two lads, Nicky Doyle and Liam Miller, they couldn't speak any Danish, so that was a barrier, but they were really, really great. They were very young and came into the team in Aarhus and they played so well. Although they were very young, they went straight into the Premier League in Denmark and made a name for themselves, both with the way they played, but especially with the way the work rate and the work ethics at training. They were always the first to meet in and the last to go home. So that was really something that I think a few of the young players in AGF they could learn from, and they did, and they were a big part of AGF staying up that season.
That's quite interesting. A lot of people wouldn't actually know that about Liam Miller as well. Are you quite surprised at how his career turned out and that he didn't hit the heights of what it promises to be in his early days at Celtic?
I think he was one of the biggest talents I've seen playing wise. He had everything. Unfortunately, he was marred by a lot of injuries. He he never had the run of 1, 2, 3 years without injuries at all, where he could just lay on the qualities that he already had. So it was a lot of restarts for him, and I think if he'd sort of spared himself for all the injuries he had, I think he could have reached any level in European football. I think he was amazing talent, and I was actually quite astonished that Celtic let him go to Aarhus. But I think in the end it turned out really well, both for the two players and for Aarhus as well, and for Celtic as well. It was sort of, I think it's the kind of deal that it was a win-win-win for everybody. The two players they developed really well. They got straight into playing high level first team football, which helped them on when they came back. And for the players, it was very important that they showed everybody that they could play on a top level. And for Celtic, well, they got two really good players coming back. So I think it was a very good situation for everybody.
Well, Mark, bringing on to running back a little bit into your debut season under Wim Jansen, you got thrusted into your first game against Motherwell at Fir Park.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You had played, as you mentioned before, in hundreds of high-intensity games down in England. Were you surprised, or was it how you expected it when that Motherwell game went ahead? Because I know it was a 3-2-1, but it was 100 miles an hour, and it could have went either way as well.
Yeah, it could. It was a very tense game. I just planned on the Friday before the game, so I only had about, I don't know, 12 hours or so to prepare for the game. I never met my teammates before. Before I met them, I met some of them playing international, but I never said hello to them as a teammate. So it was a bit awkward to sort of going straight into the game and into the park. And I remember it being a very very tense game, a lot of kicks and balls flying up in the air. It was tense, but I think it was a good sort of tester for me to come into Scottish football. I remember Alan Stubbs, who did really well that season. He had a bit of a nightmare that game. I can say that with a smile, because he was excellent. The reminder of the games, but I sort of thought, it was difficult to play alongside him for that game. Also, we didn't know each other well, but he went on to play really well the following games and the rest of the season, and also the seasons to come. But in that game, he didn't play that well. So that was a bit funny for me to come into a partnership where I could feel the players, they were very very stressed after the very poor start they had to the season. So it was very very important for us, I think, to get the win in that game, and it sort of gave us something to build on. Mm-hmm. And I think we went on to maybe 9 or 10 games with only wins after that. So it was really important to get a good kickstart of the season.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm actually calling you today from Edinburgh, and that's a place you'll remember pretty fondly, because the two league goals that you scored were actually in Edinburgh. One was at Hearts, and one was at Hibs. Two of them were very crucial. Two of them were massive, crucial goals, and it was, you know, they were huge at the time. And I remember the Hibs game especially. Am I not right in saying that the two goals you scored in Edinburgh were actually quite similar, both from corners, chested down, and you right-footed it right into the corner?
Yeah, I remember them well, both of them, and we knew every time we had to go to Edinburgh and playing Hibs and Hearts, it was especially Hearts at the time were very good, and they were sort of just sub Rangers Celtic, and Hibs, that was always a sort of a rivalry. So it was very, very tough games, and they were very close, and obviously the one goal. What made us very good that season was that we could win games, even though we didn't score a lot of goals. We could win games 1-0 and 2-1 sometimes, and that was important. I think maybe the years before with Tommy Burns, some of the games that they played there were a lot better. They could win 5-0 and they could win big games with big scores, but then they would go out and lose maybe to lesser sides, and that was maybe the difference, I think, from the years before, that we sort of we could win the tight games against the less teams, and that was very important, and especially obviously the hits and the hard games. We're always going to be tight and tough for us.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I would agree with you on the Tommy Burns thing, because I was a young boy at those games, and even under Tommy Burns, you felt we were going to get so close, we never win the league, and it was such a disappointment under the Wim Jansen team. The moment that I thought we could actually win the league and do it this year and see it for the first time ever in my life was on this day, 19 years ago, we beat Hearts 1-0, Craig Burley scored. It was such a tense game, and he scored with 10 minutes to go. And is there a game in that season that rings out for you where the whole team went, we've won this and I think we could do the league? Was there any that sticks out to you?
I think it was there was a lot of games that season that was very, very close. I think actually the Hibs game away, that was one of the games as well where we sort of thought it wasn't our best game, but we grinded it out and won eventually. I remember a game up in Dundee as well where we won the game, and it was very tight and it was very tough to play up there. So I think we felt comfortable when we played at home. The away games, there was always a lot of hard work going into them. But what we did well that season was that we were very, very solid at the back. And we knew Henrik was always going to be good for a goal. So it was a sort of Vim and Murdo. They were very sort of concerned about us being very solid at the back. Whether we played a back three or back four, we were always going to be solid. We weren't going to concede a lot of goals, and we had a sort of the confidence that we would get a goal or two in the other end. And Henrik obviously was a big impact in that, scoring a lot of very important games. And then Craig Burley scored a lot of important games. Yeah. Jackie as well. Simon Donnelly when he came on. Harold Bradbeck when he came on. So there was a lot of... Henrik was obviously a big influence, but when he didn't decide to score a goal, someone else always... And I think that was important that we sort of did it as a team. Very, very important.
No, definitely. And you were one, that was Henrik's first season as well. And obviously, you got to play first hand alongside him. We had another ex player, Tony Warner, on the podcast a few weeks ago. He played alongside Henrik as well. I take it, even in training, he was first class, total professional, and you knew from that season he was going to go into massive things?
Yeah, I think Henrik saw... Well, I knew Henrik years before he came to Celtic. Played against him a few times, both with Sweden and with Helsingborg as well. He was a great talent, but mostly maybe because he was working so hard. He was always working hard at training and working really, really hard in the games as well. And I think the Celtic years, he sort of developed the confidence you need to have to sort of be a top level striker. And I think he, especially under Wim and Murdo to start with, he really got kicking off and just continued afterwards under Martin. So it was important and especially as well after he got the bad injuries with his broken leg. It was really, really great to see him just being stronger and stronger after that, and being more and more influential in the way Celtic played. And obviously he was a big part of the success Celtic had at the minute. But I think the main strength that he sort of had was that he's a fantastic all-rounder. He was working hard. He had two great feet, very good in the air, although he wasn't that big. Very strong as well. So I think he had the full package, whereas you could say maybe skill-wise, a guy like Brian Laudrup at Celtic or at Rangers, he was maybe skill-wise better than Henrik. Yeah. But if you sort of get the full package, I think Henrik had more to offer than Brian had. But if you take like the peak things, Brian he was outstanding both for Denmark and for Rangers. So if you have to compare the two, Henrik was definitely for us as a team the more the big influence, I think. Whereas Brian, he could sort of sometimes just take the ball and finish off the game by himself. He was capable of doing things on his own, more so than Henrik maybe.
Well, you got to play with some amazing players in the flesh, and that's a massive privilege. I mean, I was just there watching in the stands and TV, so it's some experience. And I mean, there's a couple of Celtic podcasts. One of them is 20 Minute Tim's. They put out today, who is your favourite Celtic 11? And I'm just looking through the answers, and yourself, there's quite a few people say Mark Reaper. So you're still massively well-liked at the club, including from myself. I'm not even a journalist. I'm just a normal fan that runs a podcast, and I'm just got lucky to speak to you, and it's something I'm grateful for. And one of my questions for you, the last one here, was just, do you still go over to Glasgow to see Celtic in your spare time, and are you enjoying life just now away from football?
Oh yeah, I've got a very good life. Got the same wife as I had for all my career, and we've got two great kids now, and running our own business, and so it's really, really good. And when I get to Glasgow, which is much too seldom, I really enjoyed it. When I had friends up there with me, they just can't believe that I could walk down the street and still here after 20 years or so, being pinpointed by sort of everybody who walks in Stocking Hall Street or something like that. It's really amazing that after 20 years people still remember me and how well you're treated when you get over there. It's amazing, and I can't thank the Scottish people enough for that. And as well, my family, how well they're treated when we get over there. So it's really, really nice to come back, and I've promised my son to go up and watch the game this spring. So we'll be up there sometime in springtime 2017. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's brilliant. I'm hoping you come over as well. I'm sure a lot of people recognise you, and you'll get mobbed by fans, but I'm sure you enjoy it as well. And as you say, Celtic fans are, you know, we look after them.
It's quite amazing how well we always looked after when we come up there, and how well people treat us. It's really amazing and something that you don't see anywhere else, I think, in the world. So thank you very much to all the fans for that.
No, I mean, thank you very much, Mark, as well, because you've treated us pretty well by letting us just giving us 30 minutes of your time. Mean a lot. It means tons to me, because growing up, you were a commanding presence and one of my favourite defenders, still am, and I'm totally gushing here, but I'm not embarrassed to admit it, and really, really grateful for the time that you've given me. And from that was pretty much all the questions, and I can let you get back on with your day then.
It was a pleasure to be part of your show, and hopefully something will go on to bigger and better things in the future. So all the best to everyone in Scotland, and Merry Christmas to everyone as well.